Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. I'm Melody Bradford, your host. Welcome to Trailblazers. I'm Melody Bradford. Today, I'm joined by Dawn Godshaw, the CEO of Community Action of the Lehigh Valley, an organization that has been on the front lines of community impact for decades, helping individuals and families move towards stability, opportunity, and long-term success. Dawn's career has been rooted in service, leadership, and systems-level change, and under her leadership, CALV continues to evolve alongside a growing and changing Lehigh Valley. Dawn, welcome to Trailblazers. It's great to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Who is Dawn Godshaw? Where did your commitment to community impact and service really begin? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Buffalo, New York. Both of my parents passed away before I was 12, and so I grew up in many different foster homes. The foster home system is quite a unique place for children, When you grow up poor, you always want to be rich. That's a desire of most kids who didn't have a lot growing up. And so I loved to read and write, and so I decided I was going to go into journalism in some form. So I started out at writing for a newspaper, and I was a copy editor. And then I wanted to go to ABC Television in New York City. And so I started my journey in that way. And somewhere along that road, I went through a change in my life, but I had to go to a conference in Washington, D.C., and a friend of mine said that there was this gentleman named Alan Jennings who was probably going to the same conference, and so I should try to catch a ride with him. And I didn't know him from a can of paint, so I ended up going, and it was the most riveting conversation that I had had in probably most of my life with someone who was doing such great work in the Lehigh Valley. I can't tell you what the conference was about because I couldn't wait to get back in the car to talk to this gentleman some more.
Wow.
And when I did, I remember toward the end of the ride, I said to him, "I don't know why, but I think I'm supposed to work for you someday." And he said, "Well, you came out of television. I can't afford you, but I'll keep that in mind." And we kept in touch over the years, and probably almost 10 years later, he contacted me and offered me a job at Community Action.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, unscripted, because that explanation, you know, there's a follow-up question to it. What was that conversation about in the car?
He told me the many things that Community Action did and how it served the community, that it was an anti-poverty organization that wanted people to do well, that they didn't want people to just survive, but they wanted to give them the tools so that they would thrive. And you talk about a plethora of programs that it had. I think at the time it probably had about 12 or 13 different programs that helped people in a variety of ways. And so I was just very intrigued, because I'm a woman of faith, about a program that wanted to help people and support people. And I just thought it was fabulous. I enjoyed hearing how it got started and all the things that he had done over the years.
That's incredible. So what compelled you to step into leadership at CALV? How did you start? Like, what was the role?
Yeah.
And how did you step into leadership? And why did this feel like the right moment for you personally and professionally?
Well, when Alan offered me a job, it was as the director of the Sixth Street Shelter, which is the largest homeless shelter, family homeless shelter in the region.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of took a natural progression up the ladder, if you will. So I went from the director of the shelter to the associate executive director of community service programs. And then I became the head of operations, and the only other place to go was the executive director slash CEO, but I really didn't want that position. I didn't think I was qualified for it. I was very intimidated at the thought, but as a woman of faith, I prayed about it, and I asked God for this really crazy sign, which I won't share, but he gave me the answer like 20-fold, and so I knew I should throw my hat in the ring, and I got the position.
Wow. And looking back at your early career and leadership journey, what experiences prepared you for something so unexpected and for leading an organization of this scale and of this importance?
Yeah, I think everything that we do in life prepares us for the next thing. Mm-hmm. And so my time in journalism, I worked at ABC Sports and then ABC News. And so my time in journalism prepared me for the advocacy work that I do. You know, we want to know the true story. We want to get to the bottom of things. And so in any job that you have, if you're supervising three people, it then prepares you to supervise 10 people and so on. And so every role that I've ever had in my life, including a job that I had that was my first nonprofit role, helped me to understand where I was being led in this crazy world that we live in.
For listeners who may not fully understand the scope of CALV's work, you touched on it a little bit. What does impact look like on the ground day to day for the people you're serving?
Oh, it has so many different tentacles. We do community development and neighborhood revitalization work through our Community Action Development, Allentown, Bethlehem, and our Slate Belt Rising program. Mm. We have a program that helps first-time home buyers to buy their first home. Our Rising Tide program helps people to start new businesses or expand their existing businesses. The Second Harvest Food Bank is one of our programs, which is our largest program. Last year, we distributed about 16 million pounds of food to help people in the community. We weatherize homes. We do so much. I don't have an elevator speech puts it all into one little compartment, but we do fabulous work helping people to grow and to learn how to thrive in their lives in the community and get them out of poverty.
I've had the opportunity to work with Chris Hudak, who is the Rising Tide Loan Fund when I was in economic development. And just seeing how, seed funding to get businesses launched for disadvantaged individuals, businesses, just across the board has been instrumental and really the lift that many people need in order to be able to get off the ground. So
absolutely.
I know that that's one part of the organization, but it sounds like you guys just have a plethora, like you said, of different resources. Under your leadership, how has CALV evolved, and what have you been most intentional about strengthening or protecting as the organization grows?
Yeah. Well, when I started as the CEO, we were just coming at the tail end of COVID, and so it was a whirlwind. People were struggling to survive. People were losing their jobs because they couldn't go to work because of COVID. Mm-hmm. We were trying to protect the programs that we had rather than, innovate and do new things. We wanted to make sure we could continue helping the community. And there was a stream of funding during COVID like none other. But because people were struggling to pay their rent and for food and so forth, we needed to make sure that we could hold on to those things that we were doing that helped to support the community. Post-COVID, people are still struggling. And so we're really working to make sure we have programs in place that support the issues that people are facing now, like paying their utility bills and their rent and just surviving. We want them to be able to. A lot of people don't understand that for our Second Harvest Food Bank, a lot of people who go to food pantries are not necessarily hungry, but they're going to the food pantry so that they can use their food money to pay their rent or pay their utility bills, and that way they can supplement their food by going to a pantry. So all of the things that we do are so interrelated in trying to make sure that people can sustain their households.
My goodness. That's God's work. And this work isn't easy. And leadership, I imagine, can be quite demanding. What has been one of the most challenging moments you faced? And what did it teach you about your leadership and about leadership in general?
Yeah. I think one of the challenging, the most challenging things was the recent state impasse and the government shutdown. And especially since people lost SNAP benefits for a period of time. And that was really hard. We had some really good community partners who came together to help us buy purchase food because the demand went up by 30-40%. And we were already serving, so post-COVID, we were serving 65,000 people a month. During this government shutdown, last year, we were serving 124,000 people a month to just make sure that they had food to be able to provide for their families.
Wow.
But because, the government started cutting funding left and right, we had to make some really tough decisions to lay off staff in order to balance our budget to be able to continue to do the work that we do. So that was very difficult.
How did you do more with less? Because, I think leaders are tasked with that at some point. So how did you manage during that time and how did you make it happen?
We have an amazing staff that the people who were left to do the work, they were really challenged, but they kept doing it. So they kept making sure that people got fed and that people weren't, out of their homes. We just had to keep working harder and spending more hours doing what we do. So the number of hours that we spent doing the work increased with less people to do it. But my staff is a staff that is really compassionate and passionate about making sure that we help the people that need in our community.
As a leader, how do you keep them motivated and inspired? Because let's face it, you know, the work that you guys do can sometimes be heartbreaking, emotional. How do you do that?
There are a lot of different ways. Our HR department has little things that they do to keep, to make sure people win prizes or do, because of their work, they're always encouraging our staff. It was frowned upon, but what we did was for the programs that we could shut down for the period between Christmas and New Year's, we gave the entire staff a week of respite because they were tired and they needed it.
I guess. And CALV doesn't work in isolation. Talk to me a little bit about how do collaborations and partnerships across the Lehigh Valley help amplify your impact? And is there a way that people can volunteer? Do you have a volunteer base? Tell me a little bit about that.
Especially at Second Harvest, we utilize a lot of volunteers. They come and help us pack boxes for seniors and for people that need food boxes while they're trying to make ends meet. We collaborate with all of our political partners across the valley, letting them know what we need, and they fight for us. We have wonderful donors, wonderful funders. We have a wonderful volunteer base, always in need of volunteers at the Sixth Street Shelter and at Second Harvest. There are so many people who have rallied around us to make sure that we succeed in doing the work that we do out in the community. We could not do it without our partners.
I guess. My goodness, it just at the grassroots level is one thing. But even at the high level, you guys do a really good job of staying at the forefront and in front of and leveraging every resource that's out there in order to be able to make the best impact. the Lehigh Valley is actually growing and changing rapidly. Where do you see CALV's role in shaping a more equitable future for the region as a whole?
Yeah, I recently did an interview about wealth disparity, and there is quite a big difference in those, the haves and the have-nots. Mm-hmm. And so one of the reasons that we do what we do is so that people can build wealth. So our housing counseling program helps those people to buy their first homes. A lot of wealth is built in home equity. We want people to start businesses. We want them not to just survive, but we really want them to thrive. So we want the work that we do positions them with the tools that they need to get out of poverty. It's sort of that old adage, you know, don't give a man a fish, but teach him how to fish so he can eat for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of work that we do.
Hmm. What's a moment, big or small, that made you stop and say, this is why we do this work?
There are thousands. but one that resonates with me quite a bit is that we have an employee who has been with us for a couple of decades. She got off an airplane with an invitation from her family to come from Puerto Rico and come here and make a new life. And when she got to the airport, there was no one there to meet her. She ended up in our Sixth Street shelter where, you know, she and her children got the resources that they needed. She went from our shelter into a longer term transitional program that allowed her to go to school and to live so that she could save money and get herself together. She went from there to working in one of our offices as a administrative person. She went from there into another one of our programs and then another program where she became the supervisor of the program. And now she is back at the Sixth Street shelter helping other homeless families.
Wow.
And so that, oh my gosh, that story for me and for her, you know, I won't say her name. She may not want me to, but that impacts me in a way that I can't even explain because it shows me and everyone around her that the work that we do really helps to change people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Dawn, talk to me a little bit about being a woman in leadership, but also a woman of color in leadership, if you will.
That has been interesting because I am a woman of color, I see sometimes a good old boys club in various aspects of the work that I do. I have had to develop new relationships with our donors and show them that the work that we do is still worthy of what we do, regardless of this new face in the position that I'm in. It's been challenging. I see sometimes people who want to make me and others feel less than, but I know the calling that I have on my life, and I try to walk in it every day.
And if you were to give advice to another woman that maybe is, I don't know, you know, hesitating and taking a leap of faith, and maybe she's a little bit intimidated about a leadership role, what would you tell her?
Sometimes you have to do things afraid. you can't let life intimidate you. I mean, you can if you want to, but there's been many a times where I've walked into a room and didn't feel comfortable or didn't feel like I belonged. But I know that to him who is given, much is required. Mm-hmm. And that may not be the exact expression, but yeah. I believe that we have to know our value and our worth, even if you didn't grow up knowing your value and your worth. Each of us has a purpose on the face of this earth. And one of those purposes, I believe, is to help our fellow man. And if anyone is in the position to do so, that's part of why we're here, to help others and to show love and compassion. Like, why are we here to just make money for ourselves and do really fun things? Like, we are all here to help each other. And I hope more people see that as a purpose in their own lives, because it would be a much better world if we did.
And, you know, CALV does such a wonderful set of things, you know, across the board. Are there any specific calls to action for listeners, for them to get involved, for them to donate? Like, is there any specific call to action?
There's so many different things that people can do. You've heard the expression, time, talent, or treasure. And so if you have a talent that you could go and talk to the people who are at the 6th Street Shelter. You know, maybe you want to teach them how to get into the line of computer work. Anything that people have that they can teach the kids, that they can teach the adults, that would help them to better their lives. I would encourage people to give that their talent, to give their time. Volunteering is a huge plus that people have. It's not, we don't just want your funds. We want the time that you have to give to spend with people who may not have had the same opportunities. Or maybe you didn't grow up with all these opportunities, but like the employee who went on to work at the 6th Street Shelter, you want to encourage those who had a rough life and tell them you too can, you know, be somebody or do something with your life. I did, you know, to have grown up in foster homes, and my father, before he passed away when I was 11, encouraged us with education. He said education was the way out of poverty. And so I loved learning and gleaning from anybody I could get any information out of. And I went on to graduate magna cum laude from college. Mm. And so anytime I'm invited to speak to youngsters who may not have had or don't think they have the same opportunity, I encourage them, stay in school, really try to learn everything that you can, because that's how you give back to others, by using those tools that you learn throughout your life to encourage, you know, those other people, those other kids and those who just may not have had someone in their life to encourage them, that we all have a purpose and can be encouraging to those who were not given the same opportunities.
How do you feel those early life experiences, being in foster homes, things of that nature, how do you think it influenced you to do the work that you do now, but really to move on? Because I think we're at a time right now where mental health is of, you know, it's at the forefront. Yeah. You know, a lot of people are talking about it. I don't know that there's that many coping mechanisms out there for kids to really kind of lock into and be able to overcome some of the transitions that they're feeling, let alone, you know, being in a foster care situation. Talk to me a little bit about how that's influenced your life, how that's influenced your decisions, how that influences your leadership and the work that you do today.
One of the things that I can look back on and say was really valuable to me were those people who saw me, who didn't just gloss over me, but who saw that I was a young person who may have needed some mentoring and guidance. And I've had some really good mentors in my life. And it may have been brief periods of time. It might have been a counselor in school who let me tell my story. Some of the foster homes that I was in were not good foster homes. I've been locked in an attic. I have experienced things that you don't want children to have to go through. One of the important things is to listen to those youngsters. If they tell you that they're in a bad situation, pay attention and try to do whatever you can to shield them, to help them, to guide them through it. We need more mentors in this world because kids don't feel sometimes like they have a voice, and they need people to kind of hold their hand and bring them along and show them that they actually care about them. And kids who have the ability to have a voice and to be heard are the ones who end up turning out better than their circumstances basically defined that they might. They are those people who go on to be mentors for kids. It's really important. It really is important. I would not be who I am and where I am today had it not been for people who held my hand and mentored me in my life.
And if you could hold that little girl today, what would you tell her?
That it was going to turn out okay.
Yeah.
That we all worry, we all stress, we all wonder if it's going to turn out. And there are some people who give up and they don't keep pressing. So I would tell her to keep moving. You're going to be okay.
Now, as you look ahead, what excites you most about what's next for CALV and for you personally?
Well, I'm in my mid-60s, so I'm not going to be doing this work for too much longer. But I truly can say that right now we have an amazing staff and leadership team. They're innovative, they're creative, they're smart. And so I have zero doubt that when I'm not here to do this work anymore, that they will do an amazing job keeping the agency going for years to come.
Mm-hmm. And Dawn, we live in a time right now where there's a lot of interesting components to life. Let's just call it that. What advice would you give to leaders today? As we look to the next generation, as we continue to lead now for the next generation, what advice would you share?
Don't always look at the deficiencies of your staff. Look at the things that they do well and try to cultivate those things because they are our future leaders, and have a lot of compassion. There are times that you have to put your foot down and handle the problems in any organization. But when you have people whose hearts are in the right place and they want to help the people that you serve succeed, it makes all the difference in the world when people can feel like they are at an organization that cares about them as much as they care about the people that you serve.
Mm-hmm. And what is success to you?
Success for me is knowing that at the end of the day, that the gifts and the challenges that God has placed in front of me, that I am walking in obedience and serving his people so that they're, like I said, not just surviving, but that they're thriving. And I have seen so many wonderful stories come out of the work that we do that the list is endless. And so, when I worked in news, I saw death and destruction every day in some form or capacity.
Yeah.
And now I get to come home to really cool stories that I can tell, oh my gosh, guess what we did today? And that makes all the difference in the world to me.
It's incredible. Dawn Godshall is not only the president and CEO of the Community Action of Lehigh Valley, she is a leader who reminds us that real impact happens when compassion meets action and when leadership is service-driven. Dawn, thank you for the work you do every day, for the lives you help shape, and for sharing your journey with us on Trailblazers. Your leadership is making a difference, not just in programs or policies, but in people's lives. And to our listeners, thank you for spending this time with us. If this conversation inspired you, share it, talk about it, and carry it forward. You can hear this episode and all episodes of Trailblazers wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, keep showing up, keep lifting others, and keep blazing trails. Thanks so much, Dawn.
Thank you for having me.